Lesson 30, Tithes and Offerings. This lesson is designed to help us live the law of tithing and be generous in our offerings. Introduction. Write this question on the chalkboard. Will a man rob God? We are asked many important questions in the scriptures. For example, when Christ visited the American continent after his resurrection, he asked the Nephites a question previously asked by Malachi, an Old Testament prophet. Will a man rob God? 3 Nephi chapter 24, verse 8. Also Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. How is it possible to rob God? Scripture. 3 Nephi chapter 24, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Back to text. The law of tithing. The law of tithing is more than a commandment from the Lord. Through it, we have an opportunity of returning to Him a part of all that He has given us. Through it, we also can help build His kingdom and show our faith in Him. The question is often asked, what is a full, honest tithe? A tithe is one-tenth of our increase. Doctrine and Covenants, section 119. This means that we give one-tenth of our income, or if our increase is in flocks, herds, or crops rather than money, we give one-tenth of those things. See Gospel Principles, pages 50 and 51. We pay tithing by giving it to the Lord's representative, the bishop or branch president. He then sends these funds to church headquarters, where a record is kept of our tithing and other contributions. Once a year, each member is asked to make a special appointment with a bishop or branch president. At this time, he privately reviews our tithing records with us and asks us if we have paid a full tithing for the year. This meeting is called Tithing Settlement. The Lord considers the paying of tithing so important that we cannot receive a temple recommend unless we pay a full tithe. Furthermore, men and young men must be full tithe payers before they are advanced in the priesthood. Elder Matthew Cowley, a former member of the Quorum of the Twelve, told of a good Maori sister living in a remote village of New Zealand who had the true spirit of paying tithing. Now, on one occasion, I called in, as I always did when I visited that vicinity, to see this grand little woman, then in her 80s, and blind. She did not live in an organized branch, had no contact with the priesthood except as the missionaries visited there. She was out in the backyard by her little fire. I reached forth my hand to shake hands with her, and I was going to rub noses with her in the Maori fashion, and she said, "Do not shake hands with me." Then she got on her hands and knees and crawled over to her little house. At the corner of the house there was a spade. She lifted up that spade and crawled off in another direction, measuring the distance she went. She finally arrived at a spot and started digging. Her spade finally struck something hard. She took out a fruit jar. She opened that fruit jar and reached down in it, took something out, and handed it to me. And it turned out to be New Zealand money. In American money, it would have been equivalent to $100. She said, "There is my tithing. Now I can shake hands with the priesthood of God." I said, "You do not owe that much tithing." She said, "I know it. I do not owe it now, but I am paying some in advance, for I do not know when the priesthood of God will get around this way again." And then I leaned over and pressed my nose and forehead against hers, and the tears from my eyes ran down her cheek. In Conference Report, October 1948, pages 159 and 160. How can paying tithing show our love for the Lord? How does it show our faith? Offerings. We may contribute other money besides tithing to help build the Lord's kingdom. These contributions are called offerings. Our bishop, branch president, or group leader will tell us about our opportunities for paying offerings. He will let us know when we should pay our fast offerings. He will tell us when we should help provide funds for a new church building. He will tell us when welfare funds are needed. And he will let us know how much is needed for the expenses of our ward or branch. The following story by Elder Boyd K. Packer helps us understand the importance of paying tithes and offerings. Several years ago, two missionaries reported to their branch president that a family they were teaching had suddenly decided against baptism. The father had learned about tithing and canceled all further meetings with the missionaries. A few days later, Elder Packer explains, the branch president persuaded the elders to join him in another visit to the family. I understand he told the father that you have decided not to join the church. That is correct, he answered. The elders tell me that you are disturbed about tithing. Yes, said the father. They had not told us about it, and when I learned of it, I said, now that's too much to ask. Our church has never asked anything like that. We think that's just too much, and we will not join. Did they tell you about fast offering? He asked. No, said the man. What is that? In the church we fast for 2 meals each month, and give the value of the meals for the help of the poor. They did not tell us that, the man said. Did they mention the building fund? No. What is that? In the church we all contribute toward building chapels. If you join the church, you would want to participate both in labor and with money. Incidentally, we are building a new chapel here, he told him. Strange, he said, that they didn't mention it. Did they mention the welfare program to you? No, said the father. What is that? Well, we believe in helping one another. If someone is in need or ill or out of work or in trouble, we are organized to assist, and you would be expected to help. Did they also tell you that we have no professional clergy? All of us contribute our time, our talents, our means, and travel all to help the work, and we're not paid for it in money. They didn't tell us any of that, said the father. Page 256. Well, said the branch president, if you are turned away by a little thing like tithing, it is obvious you're not ready for this church. Perhaps you have made the right decision and you should not join. As they departed, almost as an afterthought, he turned and said, have you ever wondered why people will do all of these things willingly? I have never received a bill for tithing. No one has ever called to collect it, but we pay it, and all of the rest, and count it a great privilege. If you could discover why, you would be within reach of the pearl of great price. But, said the branch president, it is your decision. I only hope you will pray about it. A few days later, the man appeared at the branch president's home. He wanted to schedule the baptism of his family. Boyd K. Packer, where much is given, much is required. Ensign, November 1974, page 88. What made this man want to join the church? List on the chalkboard the various offerings mentioned in the story. Fast offerings, building fund, welfare. We may also give money to the missionary fund and to the ward or branch budget. Budget funds are used for such expenses. We may also give money to the missionary fund. Add missionary funds to the chalkboard list. Use of tithes and offerings. The tithes and offerings we give to the church are used for the Lord's work. This money is spent by our priesthood leaders in ways the Lord has appointed. These contributions help bring our brothers and sisters back to our Father in heaven. Why does it take money to accomplish the Lord's work? Some of the ways our tithes and offerings are used are, 1. To help the missionary program. 2. To help build and maintain chapels, temples, and other buildings. 3. To help educate young people in church schools, seminaries, and institutes. 4. To help print and distribute lesson materials. 5. To help further genealogy and work for the dead. 6. To help those in need who cannot help themselves. 7. To help in the expenses of general and area conferences. Blessings of paying tithes and offerings. Why is it a privilege to give tithes and offerings to the Lord? When we pay our tithes and offerings, we should do it willingly. The Scriptures tell us to give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. And that if a man doeth it grudgingly, it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift, Moroni chapter 7, verse 8. President Marion G. Romney had an experience that helps us understand this Scripture. About a quarter of a century ago, Sister Romney and I moved into a ward in which they were just beginning to build a meeting house. The size of the contribution the bishop thought I ought to contribute rather staggered me. I thought it was at least twice as much as he should have asked. However, I said, well, I will pay it, Bishop, but I will have to pay it a little at a time because I don't have the money. And so I began to pay. And I paid and paid until I was down to about the last three payments, when, as is my habit, I was reading the Book of Mormon, and came to the Scripture which said, if a man giveth a gift grudgingly, wherefore it is counted unto him the same as if he had retained the gift, wherefore he is counted evil before God. Moroni chapter 7, verse 8. This shocked me, because I was out about $1,000. Well, I went on and paid the rest of what I had promised to pay, and then I paid more to convince the Lord that I had done it with the right attitude. Relief Society Magazine, February 1968, pages 84 and 85. The Lord has promised that when we willingly contribute tithes and offerings, He will bless us. 3 Nephi, chapter 24, verses 10 through 12. What does the Lord promise when we pay our tithes? President Joseph F. Smith tells the following story about the blessings that come from paying tithing. I recollect most vividly a circumstance that occurred in the days of my childhood. My mother was a widow with a large family to provide for. One spring, when we opened our potato pits, she had her boys get a load of the best potatoes, and she took them to the tithing office. Potatoes were scarce that season. I was a little boy at the time and drove the team. When we drove up to the steps of the tithing office, ready to unload the potatoes, one of the clerks came out and said to my mother, "Widow Smith, it's a shame that you should have to pay tithing." He chided my mother for paying her tithing, called her anything but wise or prudent, and said there were others who were strong and able to work that were supported from the tithing office. My mother turned upon him and said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Would you deny me a blessing? If I did not pay my tithing, I should expect the Lord to withhold His blessing from me. I pay my tithing not only because it is a law of God, but because I expect a blessing by doing it. By keeping this and other laws, I expect to prosper and to be able to provide for my family." She prospered because she obeyed the laws of God. She had abundance to sustain her family. We never lacked as much as many others did. That widow was entitled to the privileges of the house of God. No ordinance of the gospel could be denied her, for she was obedient to the laws of God. Gospel Doctrine, pages 228 and 229. Why did Sister Smith have her boys take the best potatoes for tithing? How did this experience help the boys understand the importance of tithing? What blessings did Sister Smith receive for paying tithing? A church leader has said this about the blessings we receive from paying tithes and offerings. The Lord does keep His promises. He truly opens the windows of heaven and pours out His blessings upon those who are faithful and who obey His commandments. These blessings may come in a financial or temporal way, or may be realized by a spiritual outpouring, bringing strength, peace, and comfort. Henry D. Taylor, "I Will Pour You Out a Blessing," Ensign, May 1974, page 108. Conclusion. The Lord has given us the law of tithing as well as the commandment to contribute offerings. As we do this, we build up the kingdom of God. We help bring happiness to many people upon the earth and help those who have died receive the blessings of the gospel. When we obey these laws, we show our love for our Father in heaven, for His Son Jesus Christ, and for our brothers and sisters. We also demonstrate our faith in God. In return, we receive both temporal and spiritual blessings worth far more than the money we give. Challenge. 1. If you are not already doing so, commit yourself to paying an honest tithing and to attend tithing settlement this year. 2. Carefully consider your offerings to the church. If you feel that you should be contributing more, do so. Determine to do all that you can in this way to further the Lord's work. 3. Teach your family the blessings of paying tithes and offerings. Help them obey these laws. Additional scriptures. Genesis chapter 14, verses 19 and 20. Abraham paid tithes. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verses 5 and 6. Israelites paid tithing. Nehemiah chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. Children of Israel paid tithing. Alma chapter 13, verses 13 through 16. Abraham paid tithes. Doctrine and Covenants, section 64, verse 23. Behold, now it is called today, until the coming of the Son of Man. And verily, it is a day of sacrifice, and a day for the tithing of my people. For he that is tithed shall not be burned at his coming. Back to text. If tithed, will not be burned. Teacher preparation. Before presenting this lesson, 1. Write the question, "Will a man rob God?" on the chalkboard. 2. Review Gospel Principles, chapter 32, Tithes and Offerings. 3. Ask class members to read or present stories and scriptures in this lesson. End of lesson 30, Tithes and Offerings.